Chapter 14. Now after the calamity which befell Cestios, many of the eminent Judeans began to swim away from the city, as if from a sinking ship. Accordingly, Costobar and Saul, who were brethren, along with Philippos, son of Joachim, who was the camp prefect of King Agrippa, fled from the city and went off to Cestios. Now Antipas, who was besieged in the royal palace with these men, disdained escape and was later utterly destroyed by the insurgents. But Cestios dispatched Saul's party up to Achaia, to Nero, in order that they might explain to him the straits to which they were reduced, and also to direct responsibility for the war at Florus. For Cestios hoped that Nero's anger against that man would diminish any risk to himself. But also, the Damasceneans, once they had learned about the ruin which had befallen the Romans, were eager to do away with the Judeans who were living among themselves in Damasek. And being prompted by suspicions, the Damasceneans had indeed already cooped them up in the school for naked athletics, where they had been gathered together for a long time. Because of this, they supposed that this project would present no difficulty. But they had grown worried about their own women, who all, but a few, had been attracted by the Judean religion. Consequently, their biggest struggle for them was to elude being noticed by their women. Now they struck the Judeans, and since their victims were in a confined space, and all of them unarmed, the Damasceneans, without any terror, slaughtered a total of 10,500. But Cestios' previously mentioned misstep and defeat became a misfortune for our entire nation. For when those who had pursued Cestios had returned to Jerusalem, those who were devoted to a war were even more elated by this. And, having been victorious over the Romans, they hoped to continue victorious to the end. So, they began to bring over to their side those who were still Romanizing. Indeed, some by force, but others by persuasion. And after gathering together in the temple, they began appointing additional generals for the war. Now, both Joseph, son of Gorion, and the chief priest, Hanan, were chosen, both to be emperors of everything throughout the city, and, in particular, to raise the city's walls higher. For although Eleazar, son of Simon, had taken possession of the Romans' plunder, and the money which had been seized from Cestios, together with a great part of the public treasuries, they nevertheless did not assign him an office. This was because they had observed both that he was tyrannical and that the devotees under him were beginning to conduct themselves as if they were his spearmen. Yet gradually, both their need for the money and Eleazar's charlatan activities duped the populace. The result was that they obeyed him in all matters. But they selected different generals for Edom. Yeshua, son of Sapphiah, one of the chief priests, and Eleazar, son of the younger chief priest, but also Niger, who was a chief of Edom at that time. Now he was called the Parian, because his race originated from Pariah across the Jordan, and they ordered him to submit to the generals. But they did not neglect the other country. Instead, Joseph, son of Simon, was indeed sent into Jericho. But Manasseh was sent into Pariah. But Yohanan, the Assean, was to be general for the toparchy of Timnah. Now allotted to him were Lud and Yafo and Hamat. But Yohanan, son of Hananiah, was appointed commander of the Guphnite and Akrabat regions. And I, Joseph, son of Mattathiah, was appointed commander of each of the two Galilees. But also Gamala, the strongest of the cities in this region, was included under my generalship. Therefore, indeed, for their part, each of these generals administered what had been entrusted to him with the eagerness or shrewdness which each man possessed. Now the principal men of the Jerusalemites had indeed observed that the brigands, together with the revolutionaries, were well equipped with weapons. But they became anxious that, standing unarmed themselves, they might be left to the mercy of their enemies, which is also what subsequently happened. And they discovered that Galilee had not yet entirely revolted from the Romans, but that a portion of it was still tranquil. So, they sent me, along with two other good, fine men who were priests, Joezer and Judah, in order to persuade the wretches to lay down their weapons and to teach them that it was preferable to reserve these weapons for the nation's most elite men. Now it was agreed that these elites would indeed always have their weapons ready for the future, but would wait patiently to learn what the Romans would do.